We'll say good morning and good vach to anybody who wasn't here last night. And good morning, world. And we are up to today, Daf Mem Vav. And I'll bring you up to date sort of slowly to give some people a chance to get here. So yesterday we learned that there are two very different approaches to the inyan of Motzi Shem Ra. And this was the way Rav Papa in the end supported our original understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, one way of understanding the Pasuk is that the Pasuk is limited to the actual simple meaning of the situation of a Motzi Shem Ra. The man has to be able to taina lo matzati lebitcha betulim, and then everything follows. And the fact that there would be Adim that would testify to her not being a betula, to testify to her actually having committed adultery, that's not part of the dinim of Motzi Shem Ra. And therefore, it does not involve the husband. It has to be as written. Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a difference between the Malkus component and the Knas component. The Malkus component is given because of the fact, as we're going to see, that the Torah teaches us a general law about this. Somebody who speaks Lashon Hara gets Malkus. And that is Lo Telech Rachil. So you'll say, but isn't that a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh? Rabbi Yehuda wrote a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh, Lo Kin Alav. Masha'en Kein, the din of Knas that appears by the Motzi Shem Ra, that is a special halach that has to follow the structure in the Pasuk. And therefore, if he didn't say, or cannot say, Lo Matzati Lebitcha Betulim, because he never consummated the marriage, so then it would not be included in the dinim of Motzi Shem Ra. But there would still be the same Malkus for speaking Lashon Hara. That's a different issue and has nothing to do with this question. The Chachomim, on the other hand, they argued. Now, we had two approaches in the Chachomim. Either the Chachomim were saying, either way, you would not be chayev unless there was the simple meaning of the Pasuk, that he was Baal. Or the Chachomim say that the Pasuk is not to be taken literally, as we're going to see today, and they would actually hold that we can expand the meaning of the Pasuk to be more of a metaphor about what he's saying, and therefore it wouldn't matter even the bringing Adim where he had never consummated the marriage. He couldn't possibly say, Lo matzati lebitcha betulin. Nonetheless, that would be included. That's where we were holding yesterday. Today we want to go over where it is that we know these separate chiyuvim in the parsha of Motzi Shem Ra. So let's start with the Tana Rabbanan, and we had gotten up already to there yesterday. So it's about eight lines down, Tana Rabbanan va'anchu oto. So we have two chiyuvim in the pasuk. It says va'anchu oto mea kesef v'natnu la'avia nara ki hotzi shem ra al betulat Yisrael. But before that, it said, "Vilakhu ziknei irahi et ha'ish v'yisru oto," which we understood "v'yisru oto" to mean they give him malchus. So now the question is, how are we sure that this is the meaning? So Tana Rabbanan v'anchu oto zemamon v'yisru zemalchus. I understand there's no arguing with the question about v'anchu oto. That's preferish in the pasuk. So bishlama v'anchu has to be mamon dichtiv in the pasuk itself. V'anchu oto mea kesev v'natnu la'avia nara. So it tells you that the onesh is in terms of the money that he's going to have to pay out. But how do we know that v'yisru oto specifically means malchus? That's my question. Minola. Omer Rabbi Abohu, that actually is a fascinating limud, which comes from a Gezerah Shavah. Because what we do over here is we trace the word v'yisru. So if you take a look at the word v'yisru, we have the v'yisru appearing very prominently in the case of a ben soreru more. So it says, ki yele ish ben soreru more, enenu shomea bekol aviv v'kol imo, v'yisru oto, v'lo yishma aleihem. And how do we know that v'yisru means malchus? Because it says the same lashon with ben. So it says, v'haya im bin hakot harasha v'pilo ha'shofet v'yikohu. So that's the din of malchus. So that means that it's a given that if we have a ben in the pasuk, then it would mean v'yisru in terms of malchus. But since it uses the same lashon of Yisru as it does with the Yisru taught by the Ben Sorer Moreh, so the entire thing is learned directly from Bina Kotor Rasha. So we're going to learn Yisru from the Yisru taught by Ben Sorer Moreh. And that gives us a Ben here by the Yisru, so to speak. In other words, practically speaking, we're to learn it from it as if Ben was written in the Parsha Motzi Shemra, and then we can learn Ben from Im Bina Kotor Rasha, which tells me that the Yisru Oto here is a Yisru Oto of Malkus. So that's Vahayim Bina Kotor Rasha. But the question is, what about the Azhara? Remember that we have a klal. The Torah is never Ma'anish, so it says, I really give him Malkus Arboyim, unless it actually gives you a lav in advance and tells you how to behave. And you're meant to derive from the fact that there's Malkus, the Torah answered it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell you that it's us. That's called the Azara, as opposed to the Onesh. So I understand that we know the Onesh, but how do we know the Azara? That's our question. Where did the Torah say not to do this? Now, we already know we had one approach, right? And that was the approach of Rabbi Yehuda, who took for granted that the din of Malkus was not really even dependent on the concept of Motzi Shemra, because anyway, Lo Telech Rachil would have provided for a penalty of Malkus under any circumstances, whether it's talking about a case of a Motzi Shemra, or whether it's talking about a case of a guy who actually sold you a rotten car. Whatever. It would be the same Isser. So whether you say Lo Matzati La Auto Shelcha Carburetor Tov, or whether you say Lo Matzati Lebitcha Betulim, it would still be the same Motzi Shemra, and it would be the Chiev. And therefore, there's no Chiddush Bichlal in terms of Motzi Shemra about the Yisru Oto. So we know the answer that would mean that even if in general you would disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and you would say you don't get Malkus for a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, but even if you hold not like Rabbi Yehuda and in general you don't get Malkus for a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, it's easy to identify the special Malkus that is prescribed in the case of Motzi Shemra about a Nahara, that must be coming as this unique application of the Isser Lav of the Lo Telech Rachil Be'amecha, you see? So therefore, it's clear that there's going to be one possibility, which is Rabbi Elazar's approach. Rabbi Elazar says, we learn it out from Lo Telech Rachil. You'll say, but I understand, that's a Lav She'ein Bo Ma'aseh. That's true, but over here the Torah is saying specifically, in the case of Motzi Shemra, it's different. And here you're going to get Malkus, even though you did not do any kind of Maisa. Rabbi Natan Amar, there's another love, and that is V'nishmarta Mikol Davar Ra. So a Davar Ra is a Dibur Ra. Any Dibur Ra is Usur, as a love. Okay, so you can't say something bad. Am I chayav Malkus on that? Well, not usually, but in this case of a Motzi Shemra, the Torah is actualizing the Onesh on that lav. V'Rabbi Elazar, why didn't Rabbi Elazar like that reason? Because Lo Telech Rachil, remember, has an interesting problem associated with it. The Rambam paskins that the Isser of Lashon Hara is actually included in Lo Telech Rachil, like Rabbi Elazar. And that is problematic because the main meaning of Lo Telech Rachil is Rechilut, as opposed to Avodah Zarah, as opposed to Lashon Hara, which in my mind is always Avodah Zarah. So as opposed to Lashon Hara, right? So, Freudian slip. So, The idea that Lashon Hara is included is basically a Kal V'chomer, because as the Rambam puts it, Lashon Hara is infinitely worse than Rechilut, which everybody thinks is crazy. How could Lashon Hara be worse than Rechilut? Rechilut is where you may be destroying the guy's job by telling him, you know, you go to the boss and you say, you know what this guy says about this business? And so on and so forth. That sounds awful, right? Which is what the Ravid says. This is murder. This is doega adonis. No, this is much worse. Okay. All right, so that's a problem, because then it's not referring directly. Masha Inkein, the pasuk of Rabbi Nosson is beautiful. V'nishmarta mikol davara, any word, a dibura, don't open your fat mouth with a bad word. That's great. Perfect. So why wouldn't you want to say that? Because, ahumi ba'ile, l'rekupinichas ben yoyer, that's a famous famous halacha of Pinchas ben Yoyer, who learns that v'nishmarta mikol davar ra has to be seen in context. Because since in context, the very next pasuk, very strangely, says, ki yebecha ish asher lo yeh tahor mikra laila v'yatzal mechutz l'machaneh lo yavol tocha machaneh. What in the world is the connection? Says Rabbi Meir, that's what the nishmarta mikol davar ra is referring to. It means not to fantasize, which will cause you to have a wet dream, which will cause you to have to go out to the machaneh to be an ishus tame mikre laila. That means that the Torah is actually ushering fantasizing. So that's the. And what did Rabbi Nosson? I mean, if this is a good explanation of pasuk because of the smicha, so why did Rabbi Nosson not go to Litlei Telech Rachil? Because he understands that to be a reference to the way Bezdin judges a case. And he says, Lo Telech Rachil means if a guy is saying, go easy on me, will you? Tehei Rachli, Rachil, go easy on me. Bezdin cannot respond to a plea of go easy on me. So that means that they can't be rach lezev ekash lezev. They can't go easy on one guy and speak nicely to one of the Bali Dinim and speak harshly to the other, because that's misatem ta'anotav, and that is a pagam in the dibur of a bezdin. Okay, fine. So it doesn't become an iser to everyone. Anyway, now, we spoke about yesterday the beginnings of the machlokas between the Chachomim and Rabbi Elazar, about how it is that we're supposed to understand the pasuk. Is it meant to be literally, or is it meant to be a model? So the idea that he says, lo matzati labitcha betulim, does that mean that there needed to be a way for him to say that honestly, even if he was lying? So in other words, if he had never consummated the marriage, obviously he has no idea whether she has betulim or not, and therefore the din of motzi shemra would not apply to such a case. But there are other ways to be motzi shemra, right? You could simply present witnesses that saw her committing adultery before she came to the chuppah during the time of the erusin. Or we could go a step further. We could say you could have hired false witnesses. In other words, it isn't clear, because there are three possibilities. Witnesses step forward. They have nothing to do with the husband. Witnesses step forward, and they tell a guy, look, your wife committed adultery. She's a surah to you. And so he tells the person, well, I don't know what to do. I mean, these witnesses said that she committed adultery. I'm not allowed to consummate my marriage. The other one would be, he presents these witnesses to the Besdin. And the third one is, he actually hired these witnesses to lie. Now, this is, the case gets more interesting, as Miss Christie says. So now the question is, which or any of these cases would be included in the din of motzi shemra? So obviously, if you hold that the din is that it needs to be mekayim, the simple meaning of the pasuk, none of these cases are included, because he can't say, lo matzati labitcha betulim, he never slept with her. So the father says, well, you idiot, of course lo matzati labitcha betulim, let me teach you a thing or two about life. But as far as this is concerned, if you're telling me it's a model, how far does the model extend? So here it says in the Braita that if the motzi shemra did not say to these eidim, step forward and say your words to the bezdin, and they're just me'idim oto me'aleihem. They come to Bezdin on their own just to save this guy from having a wife who's been committing adultery on him. Then the din is that over there, who ain't olokev, ain't olotein me'asloim. If it turns out that they are lying, so then he's not included in this case, because he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. It was all coming from the outside. And what happens is that then she will get skila. or the Edim will get skila. And we always ask this question, come on, that's ridiculous. How can she and the Edim both get skila? And obviously it means if the Edim turn out to be Edim Zomimim, they get skila. And if they turn out to be telling the truth, then she gets skila. Now, note that the Braita is only saying that he doesn't have to pay his fine as a Motzi Shem Ra because they stepped forward on their own, right? But suppose he would have brought them to Beis Din and they didn't step forward on their own. So if he told them, please testify in court about this, then Afagav Delo Agrino, even though he didn't hire them to be Edim Shkarim, then he would still, yes, be Chayev. And this Braita, therefore, is Kineged the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda says he would not be Chayev in these cases unless he actually hired these witnesses to lie and to say that they saw his wife committing adultery. So that means he's framing her. So the case of the Motzi Shema that would be included over here is framing, not only claiming Lo Matzati Betulim. He's trying to knock her off. What's the Sfora of Rabbi Yehuda? Where would he get that from? Omer Rabbi Abba, also, he learns it out from Egzera Shava. Because Atya Sima, because it says over here, Visamla Alilot Varim. Now, what do you mean, Visamla? He puts it on her. How do you put something on her? In the same way that the Torah says, Lo Tasimun Alav Neshech. Well, what does it mean, you put Neshech on? So it involves using money, right? So visam means you use monetary influence. Therefore, in this case, when it says visam la alilot dvarim, it's talking about using your money to put a frame on her. That's the pshat. That's called framing, but it's got to cost you. It's because it has to be the same as the ribit, because lo tasimun alav neshech. So just like over there by neshech, it's talking about the value of their money, Afkan Mamon. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak, V'chein Toni Rav Yosef Tzidoni. So this is Rav Yosef, who comes from Barnea's neighborhood over there up in Sidon, who taught by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, this is an Abraisa, Atya Sima Sima. We learn it out from the Gzeirah Shava of Visamla Lilo Dvarim, to Lota Simun Alav Neshech. Now, the question is, how far do we take this? Is this literal? In other words, the Gzeirah Shava limits the idea of Visamla Lilo Dvarim to the same cases of Ribit. Suppose he would hire them with a piece of property, with real estate. Now, the issue is that by the Pasuk of Lo Tasimun Alav Neshech, it specifies Neshech Kesev, Neshech Ochel, which is mashma that you cannot use real estate. The din of real estate is never considered to be Neshech. We find many different inyanim about real property. We're over there, there's no Ona'ah, and there's no din of Shua Sheker, and so on and so forth. So real property is viewed as so totally fluctuating in its value and in the way people would value it that a lot of these dinim do not apply, and one of them is neshech. So that the question of property, changes in property values and what would be paid back in cases of a mashkanta on property and so on, if it's it's actual property as opposed to evaluating, that is very different. So maybe over here, the same strange halacha would be true, legabe hiring these witnesses. Because if I hire them with property, then I can't learn out from the pasuk. You're right, it doesn't make any sense. But the point is that the gzera shava would limit the case. So if it would be not actual cash or betaltalim, what would be the din? What about if he would actually hire these witnesses for something that had less than a shava pruta, and you wouldn't be chayav on ribit on less than a shava pruta, because it doesn't have a din of mamon? Or how about if you paid for both of these witnesses together something that was worth a pruta? So is it defined by each witness, or is it defined by the transaction with the SEMA, so to speak? In other words, it's going to take two guys to actually frame her, so the cost of the two guys, perhaps, could be learned out from SEMA. So what's the dynamic of all of these? Interesting. Another issue that we are not clear about is by Ravashi. What would be the din of a guy? This is classic. I mean, this is like straight out of today's newspapers. You know, everybody's got something to say about something that happened 20 years before. So here's the case. This guy is married to this woman, right? And they're happily married for 20 years. They get into a fight. He divorces her. Okay. A couple years later, he takes her back. So now he's remarrying her. And now they get into a fight, but this time he says, you know, 23 years ago when I first married your rotten daughter, she already wasn't a psula. She'd been sleeping around with somebody. So now all of a sudden he remembers that he's been Motzi Shemra on the original marriage, right? Okay, so does that count? I mean, can he be Motzi Shemra on something that wasn't his current marriage? So what was the Nisu Marishonim? Or, as we had in Yevamos, we had the case. Somebody's Motzi Shemra. I read this earlier. He's Motzi Shemra on his brother's marriage. So in other words, his brother had been Ma'aretz a woman. His brother dies. She's no fella to him from Eretzin, which is the din of Yibum. And he says, you know, my brother's wife falls to me. I try to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum. Turns out that she is not a betulah, she was supposed to be, and he never took her to the chuppah. Of course, my brother would never have slept with her without taking the chuppah. So now the question is, can he have a taina of a motzi shemra on a yavama? So we've got a list of questions, and we have an answer to one of these questions. Pshot miyachada. To Tani Rabbi Yona, if you take a look at the way that the Torah presents the concept of a motzi shemra, it goes, et biti natati le'ish hazeh. So le'zeh means, look, you, I don't really know, because you're the Yavan, but your brother. So then that means this is not included. Because the way that the Torah sets up the case is the model for all of the inyanim of Motzi Shemra. Okay? So therefore, at least we know the answer to one out of these five questions. Now, let us finally get to the very fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan as to the question. Remember, we tried to say the machlokas of the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda, was essentially the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan. The machlokas, we learned there briefly, was whether there was a literal meaning to Motzi Shemra or whether Motzi Shemra was like a model, which would have included other things like bringing Edim and so on. Did it require that he had actually consummated his marriage with her or not necessarily? So can we get into that, please? Because you've been making reference to it again and again, and I still don't know the details. Okay, well, let's take a look at the Brice, the Tanya. Ketzad hotza'at Shemra, Bala Beidin Ve'amar. So, okay, now the Chassan walks into Beis Din, and he says, Mr. Ploni, lo matzati lebitcha betulim. Because, after all, Mr. Ploni says that's what happened. He says, et bitina tati le'isha zeh, le'isha, and he came along and he tells me, lo matzati betulim, right? Okay, so then we can extrapolate what happened. So what happened was, this guy walked into Beis Din, and he says, Mr. Ploni, your daughter has been sleeping around during the time she was in your house before I got her to the chuppah. So, im yesh edim shezinta tachtav, if it turns out that she did actually sleep with someone, she's an adulteress while she was in Arusa, she still has a ksuva of amona. Are you crazy? Im yesh edim shezinta tachtav, yesh la ksuva amona. Come on, you got to be joking. But Skilahi, understand, that's the case, we're going to kill her, but she still has a ksuva mana. Ah, come on, that can't be what you mean. No, obviously not. Im yesh edim shezinta tachtav, we leave that open. You know what happened, so then we have the special din of skila that is mentioned by a nara amuras, as opposed to a normal adulteress. But if it turns out that she was zinta mi'ikara, In other words, before he even was Ma'aretzer, so she was sleeping with somebody. And then he goes and is Ma'aretzer under the mistaken assumption that she's a nice lily-white innocent girl who is a betula. And it turns out that, no, she isn't as innocent as you think. And we had the machlokas before. And this is going according to the Man Yomar, who says, that doesn't mean that you can claim it's a mekach toz. It means that her ktuvah is reduced from 200 for the betula to 100 for the bula. But it's not considered to be a mekach ta'ut. That was we had a machlokas early on in the Masechet, so that's what it means. Anyway, let's get back to the Braisa. Now, Nimtza Shashem Ra, so if it turned out that it was not true, and what he was saying, Eino Shem Ra, that on the contrary, he's the one that turns out to be the Shem Ra, because we turn out to discover that his Edim were lying, and the halacha over there is that he gets Malkus and gets his Mea Shekel, which is Mea Slaim in nowadays. And this is true whether he did consummate the marriage or did not consummate the marriage, because, as we'll see, we're taking the Din HaMotzi Shemra as a model which is meant to be expanded. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, no. The pasuk means exactly what it says. Lo matzati lebitcha betulim means that he did consummate the marriage, and he's referring to the fact that he had slept with her and he didn't find betulim. And therefore, what you said makes no sense. Say, if he never slept with her, so then he still has a din motzi shemra? Nonsense. This halacha of paying me a shekel and of bivisroto is talking about where he had previously been boal her. And he personally found that she was not a betula. Okay, so now let's take a look at the pasuk and see which pshat fits into the pasuk. I mean, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's great. Pasuk means exactly what it says. Because it says beferish that the man said ve'ekrav aleha, and the father said uba eleha. And, I mean, so it's pretty clear that that's what happens. I mean, what do you mean, ekrav eleha? I mean, that certainly doesn't mean, you know, I got within 5 feet of her and I found out that she doesn't have betulim. I mean, it means exactly what it says, ekrav eleha, kirva kirvat basar. And when the father said, and uba aleha, when he says, I mean, the exact lashon is this, yikach ishisha, so on, some lovely lo dvarim, otzi shem ra. And what he says is, va'ekrav eleha v'lo matzati la betulim. And the Aviyah Nara says to Zikenim that actually, ela betule biti, and it says that biti natati li'isha zeh, so that makes the only sense I can understand is that he actually slept with her. But how, according to the Rabbanan, do we understand those words? They don't make any sense. No, said the Rabbanan. It's not meant to be the way you normally would have taken those words. It means sort of as a model that he was ba'aleha, not in the sense of sleeping with her, but rather that he was ba'aleha in the sense of having coming up to her and accusing her in this horrible way. So that's what the meaning would be, in which case it could be with Adim also. Why does it have to be that necessarily he slept with her? So when the parsha begins with ki yikach ish isha uba eleha, so that's pretty clear that it means uba eleha. No, doesn't necessarily mean that. So the uba eleha, according to Chachamim, would have to be basically metaphorically. And that's what in actually how we learn the pasuk. Okay, that would be the first piece of this picture. And what about the
Rebbe? Mm-hmm. Rebbe's combining two things. It's hard to follow Rebbe. Rebbe's now five short lines up. Father Balilok, and Rebbe's describing Balilok.
Yeah, I haven't finished. I just started looking at the pasuk. So we have two words that we need to explain. Tukikach ishisha ubo'eleha, and then the fact that the guy said ve'krav eleha. So therefore, we understand that uba eleha is a reference to coming up to her with all of these disgusting things that he's saying. Balilot is the the things that he's saying. And when he says, that then I came close to her, what it means is not that I came close to her physically. I came close to her with a discussion. Bidvarim, you know, I started to talk with her and ask her, you know, what's going on. And it turns out that she said things that were very suspicious to me. Well, yeah, I had some friends, and then I looked into it, you know, and I found Adam, and the Adam said that she actually had been sleeping around. That's what it means. A little bit of a push, but okay, Barnea's got, remember, a very good shoehorn as a Kohen. So Bishlama L'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it makes sense that he says, Lo matzati l'bitcha bitulim, according to the Rabbanan, who says we're talking about a case where he never slept with her. How could he say those strange words, Lo matzati l'bitcha bitulim? That doesn't mean I didn't find literal bitulim. It means Lo matzati l'bitcha kashrei bitulim. I didn't find the din of believing that she should be kosher her bitulim, because as far as I know, the people were telling me that she's not a bitulah. So I didn't, when I looked into it, I didn't find anybody saying that they're lying and that they're edim zomimim. So I have no choice but to believe that that's what it means. It doesn't mean literally bitulim. And according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, I mean, it gets worse as we go, you know. To say vek rava lea, ubay lea is metaphorical, fine. Then it gets a little harder to say lo matzati bitulim. That doesn't really mean bitulim. But the next piece is insane. It says that the parents come and the father comes. He says, Ela betulei biti, which means he's bringing out the sheet with the betulei biti. I mean, like, what? Well, see what that's, what in the world? How can he say Ela betulei biti? There are no, there's no blood. So what in the world are we talking about? No, but that means it's also metaphorical. Here are the witnesses that will be mezamim, the witnesses that he brought, and these witnesses are the kishrei betulim. They prove that she was really a kosher betulah that can be relied upon. That's what it means. Ela kishrei betulei biti. Okay, I got one last one for you that's going to be really a killer. I mean to say this is metaphorical. So Bishlam L'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it says, uparsu asimla. They should spread out the sheet in front of Pesim. Okay? Can you just tell me what the sheet is in this case? So, according to Rabbanan, what is the sheet? Rabbi Avu, Pirshu, it means Masha Samla. Simla is actually what it was. That's the Pashtus. Although Tosfos says that's not what it means in terms of the Simla. But the simple meaning of the Gemara is that what they did was they were mefaresh. That's the pshat, parsu. Pirshu. They should work things out. Kedetanya, ufarsu asimla, melamed shabayimedim shalzeh, v'yedim shalzeh. We have the whole thing out with drisha v'chakira, and borin v'tadavar kesimla chadasha. Remember, we always use that word because we had that hema basadeh, and they were mitkaseh b'simla chadasha, and we learned that that means simla chadasha is exactly this idea, that you're mevarer things absolutely, and you can't even argue with it. That's what we use the word simla for, and that's what it means over here. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, oh, come on, man, the pasuk is dvarim kichtavan, it means bringing a sheet, it means ela betulei, it means lo matzati betulim, I didn't find any blood, and here is the blood, and so on and so forth. I mean, why are we taking this pasuk out of its context? And therefore, there's something special about the personal attack. This is so disgusting. The whole thing is so unbelievably disgusting. A guy sleeps with a girl, then accuses her, then it turns out that the whole, I mean, it's like unbelievable. Mamela, there's Adam, and so that's all like sort of technical, right? But this is personal. So where you're talking about the protection of a woman from this type of wantonness on the part of a man that's going to take advantage of her. That's what this Masechet is about. Why in the world would we extend it to talk about court cases about whether Adam are saying this or Adam are saying that? I mean, That's not the same as the filthy meaning of the pasuk. And the whole thing is disgusting. Bring the sheet to the bezdin. There's a reason why the Torah says it this way, says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And that's the whole point. Sholach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yaakov bar Giyuri Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan is a fascinating additional corollary to this machlokes. Because when you're talking about Baal or Lo Baal, the question is, does that mean vaginally? Because Ikola Terekula, we don't care how to define Va'ekrav Elea, Vava Alea, right? Because we learn out from the Pasuk of Mishkevei Isha that it makes no difference whether you're talking about Kedarka, Shalo Kedarka. But if over here, the Pasuk is insisting on a literal Lo Matzati L'Bitcha Betulim, then this guy needs a definite lesson in the birds and the bees if he was never Baal El vaginally and expected to find Betulim, right? So he's getting awfully confused. So this is the one case in the entire Torah where when it says Baal El, it has to mean vaginally, which is strange because usually the word has nothing to do and it's none of your darn business. So therefore, the idea is that Afagav Shlomatzino b'chola terekula shechileka katuv bein biyakedarka leviya shalokedarka for any din, for makas, for onshin, when it comes to any of the arayas, kinyanim, and so on, we really are not concerned with the details of what constitutes a biya. But when it comes to motzi shemra, since the whole point is the Lomatzati Labitcha Betulim, so then the Torah does make a difference. Because over here, Eino Chayav, now look, it's true that Uba Eleha, listen to this. The words Uba Eleha would still have the standard meaning of Uba Eleha. So I don't care whether he sleeps with her normally or he sleeps with her Shalom Kedarka. That doesn't matter to me. But what he said had to be, he's claiming, I agree, says Rabbi Yochanan. He needs to have been Baal. But remember that the word Baal includes the entire spectrum of intercourse. But what he needs to be saying is, he needs to be claiming that he was Baaleha vaginally, because he's claiming Lo Matzati Betulim. Now, yes, the Gemara, this makes no sense. What do you mean? Even if he's Baal Shalom Kedarka, means, doesn't mean, of course, Enochayev Ad Shiva Shalom Kedarka, means Enochayev, unless he was Baal, how? I don't care. That could be even Shalom Kedarka. But the Motzi Shemra element has to be that he claims that she has no Betuli, which is Dafka Kedarka. Problem is, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't work out at all, not according to the Rabbanan and not according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Because according to the Rabbanan, he did not need to be Baal El literally at all. He could have just been Baal El, we had a discussion and I got suspicious. That would be the same din of Ekrav El, right? Okay, so it's not the Rabbanan. If he's going according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, so Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that I need to take the entire story as real, not as like some type of metaphor. So a guy can't say, I slept with your daughter and I didn't find Betulim, and it turns out I slept with her anally. That would be nuts. So according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what you're saying makes no sense either, because if Uba Alea is seen in the context of Lo Matzati Betulim, so then Idim Idi Kedarka Be'inan. He can't possibly be saying Lo Matzati Betulim with the Bia Shalom Kedarka. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan does not make any sense. Ela, Shalach Rav Kahana Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, you got it wrong. Eno Chayav Achiv Ol Kedarka V'yotzi Shem Rabbi Kedarka. He's Dafka going according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and he's explaining that in this case, we have a unique definition of the Baal El, because in the same way that the Motzi Shemra of Lo Matzati Betulim has to be Kedarka, so too, Ubaila means Kedarka. We take the entire thing at face value. It means what it says, which brings us to this wonderful moment of pure Sir Richard. Beautiful. Beautiful. Ha'av, Zakai Bibito, Bikidusha, huh? So now we are moving on to the general idea of how it is that the relationship Bein Av Lebito, which is related to Bein Ish Leishto, the Pasuk puts them together in terms of the Inyonim of Nidorim, and not only that, but it creates a transitional phase of the Av to the case of the Nisuin of Erisin. It's fascinating. So all along, the Torah has made a big point of the gradations between a woman within her father's rishus, a woman partially within her father's rishus, in terms of Arusa, and a woman who is completely out of her father's rishus, which we term a Yetoma for good reason. Okay, so this has been fundamental to our Masechet. Let's go directly, and remember, this is always the derech of the Masechet, that the fundamental issues are left further and further, more deeply into the Masechet. We pointed out that this is the way that nature works as well. It presents you with certain phenomena. You deal with the phenomena as if they just exist on their own. And gradually, as you get deeper into it, you begin to see that these phenomena are all deeply interrelated. And then you could see the Sherish and the Mokar of things. So now, having gone through the concept of Shoktu Chachomim, which was learned out of the dinim of Knas, where over there it said Mohar Betulot, which came from a responsibility to the father of the Mohar Betulot, and he's the one that provides her money for marriage, and also who is Zocha to whatever it is that is given to him for the right of marrying your daughter, and so on. This comes from a general halacha, as we've seen, because sometimes we had to actually access the rights of the father, as we're going to see in today, we're going to remember from seeing today's Gemara, we have to access the rights of the father to understand why the fundamental rights, why other rights are given to him. For instance, we said that he would be zocha to Bosha to Begam, because it's biyado to give her over to someone who would basically be an act of Bosha Begam, Menuvel Umukashrin, for instance, right? But that means that you first have to establish the fact that he has those rights. And this is going to be the discussion in the Gemara, which is more fundamental. So there is a beautiful pasuk at the end of the parsha that introduces Bein Av Lebito, Bein Ish Leishto, Bineureha Beit Aviha. And that word, Bineureha Beit Aviha, seems to be a gratuitous restatement of everything that we know. I mean, it said what the halacha was. So Bineureha Beit Aviha seems to be saying that while she is a Nara, the special status, which is called Shevach, the Shevach Neurim, all of the special wonderful things that comes from that brief period of pubescence, which we consider in an Isha to be a very special period, which gives her all of the din of a Nara Meurasa. But it also is a general period of shevach. By males, we find also the same idea, except it doesn't have any monetary implications. But as Barnea can tell you from his experiences in the Beis HaMikdash, the male pubescent stage is also considered to be extremely special. And that's why we will always use pirchei kuhuna, pirchei meaning sprouting hair of kuhuna. And that was used not only in the Beis HaMikdash as a special expression, but at Har Sinai, which is why it's hidden, because we don't want the Greeks getting too involved in this. But as it says, the Atzilei B'nei Yisrael, right? And that was in order to, that was one of the things that they changed in the Greek translation. But the point is that this special Shevach seems to be given to Aviah. Bineureha Beit Aviah seems to be saying, Kol Shevach Neurim Le'aviah. So let's take a look at what all of those chuyot are. So Ha'av Zakai Bivito, in the following things. B'kidusheha. Now, he could actually make money out of that, because, of course, kidushi can be made with kesev. But kesev, or he's zocha in the sense of being the one in charge, so he would get to accept the shtar. Hare he mikudeshetli, and give that to the father, and that's good. Bitcha mikudeshetli. Or he could even take money, if he wants, to give her over to whomever he wishes for bia, and to be makadosher in that way. He also is zakai in her mitziah, So if she finds something, he gets to keep it. If she works, ma'aseyadea, he gets the income. If she makes a neder, ba'farat nedarea, he can be made for that neder. And if she's divorced, as we saw before, obviously it only means but the Pashtus is it means if she's divorced from Erisin. So if she gets divorced from Erisin, he's the one who is Mikabel et Gita, not after she was Nisua, where she is a Yitomash, and he doesn't have any rights over her. And then that would mean that he would get the Ketuvah, as we saw before. But a father, in the event that his daughter inherited property, not through him, she inherited this property through her mother, and it was property that was not due to the husband, they were divorced, but nonetheless, if her mother dies and she is the heir, then the heiress gets to be a rich heiress, and the father doesn't have any rights to that money. And he has to open up a trust account for her, which is called Yasala Segula, as we'll see. But once she's married, all of these rights are transferred to the husband with one additional point. And that is, he actually is Ochel Perot Bechayah. He can invest that money that she inherited, and he can keep the income as long as she is alive. And that would be true that there is a halacha specifically, as we're going to see, that once it's nisuin, if she inherits things after nisuin, he's able to treat that the way we would treat the nichsei maluk. V'chayav b'zonoteha, he has to take care of her support, and pirkona, he has to guarantee as an insurance policy the ransom in the event that she's kidnapped, and he is responsible for her kvura if she dies. So we'll see where all of this comes from, but they're all dinim of the ketuvah itself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this din of burial is not to get her body under 6 feet. It is a full-scale, fancy funeral. Now, any normal funeral, the absolute minimum for a funeral is a filo ani should be Yisrael. Did anybody ever attend a funeral that didn't have an orchestra playing? I mean, how do you have a funeral without Bach in the background, right? So therefore, he has to pay for minimum orchestra, have at least 2 flutes and a singer. And the singer is a woman who is an opera singer, and she laments the sad death of Miss So-and-so. Boy, have things changed, huh? Imagine what would happen if somebody would walk in. I've actually been at such funerals, and they're very beautiful. The Karlbach funerals all have orchestras and singing. So that's not the old-fashioned funerals, but it's actually very nice. So that, and remember, we learned out by the Churban Beis HaMikdash that they were singing at that point. They were singing the Kina, right? So that's what the Gemara says, that the Leviim were in the middle of playing a Kina. Fine. So let's go into the various things that we spoke about. The father is zoche to his daughter's kesef. Okay, how do we know that he is zoche to the kesef? Well, Rav Yehuda, Makra, let's take a look at this fascinating situation. A father can sell his daughter for avdut, correct? So that's called an oma. And the din over there is, of course, that if the Odin wants to be mia'ed her, so he wants to take her as a wife, it turns out that that money is actually going to be usable as her kesef kedushin. But where this all starts is from the words v'yatza chinam ein kasef. So what is that referring to? She goes out when she gets simanim from the person that bought her from the father without any money. That's sort of a weird thing to say. I mean, if you're saying v'yatz'ah chinam, what do you mean ein kasef? Well, obviously, free is free, right? No money. Therefore, what the Torah is saying is, there's no money in this v'yatz'ah, but there is money in the other master. There's two masters. There's the original master, who is the father, who gave her over to this Odin temporarily until she gets the money. So when it means ain kesev, what it's telling me is ain kesev la Odin zeh. This guy doesn't make any money out of it. When she goes out free and clear. But when she leaves the rishus of the father into someone else's rishus, there is money involved. And that means that there must be a concept of yitziyah merushus av through giving money. And that is called kedushin. That's how she's yotzeh. So that would be Manu, who is the other father. There's only one other possible father, one other possible Odin, which is her father. Okay, fine. So you're proving to me that there's a concept of kesef kedushin. I understand. But how do you know that the father keeps yusad av zakai even in the money of the kedushin? How do we know that even in the money he gets to keep? Maybe the money goes to her. She's leaving the father's rishus and we give her the money, right? It doesn't say ein kesef in the sense of ein kesef. You said it means ein kesef la adon. It doesn't say ein kesef la adon. It says ein kesef. In this yitziyah, ein kesef. But in another yitziyah, namely yitziyah merushus av, yesh kesef. But doesn't say who that money goes to. Doesn't say ein yesh kesef la adon acher. It just says there is money involved in a similar yitziyah. Okay, so that teaches me there's kedusha kesef. Fine. But how do we know that the father gets to keep it? Well, he's obviously the one who is able to consent to the kedushin, right? Because it says beferish in the parsha that we just learned, the Motzi Shemra, et biti natati le'ish hazeh. So if he's the one that is able to effectuate the kedushin, how would she take the money? Ishakla Kaspa, he's the only one that can get involved in the transaction. So what kind of transaction is it to give him money, but she keeps the money? That's not a transaction. No, well, now wait a minute. You said that this is true of a Nara, but maybe this is true only of a Katana. Remember, you're learning it out of a case where a Katana gets the money and she's Yotze from the Shus of the Yodin, right? But at that point, she becomes a Nara. She doesn't become a Bogeret. So you're telling me that he gets to keep the money of the Narut. How do you know? Maybe this is only referring to a Ketana, because a Ketana does not have her own ability to be Mekabel Kedushin, because she doesn't have Das. So she doesn't have her own ability. Let La Yad. A Nara, who does have Das, and therefore she can do whatever she wants in terms of Kinyan, she can buy things, she can sell things, she could be over on Averas, whatever it is, and she's considered to be a full adult. So she should be able to be Mekabel Kedushin herself and to keep the money for herself. So Tekadesh Nafsha, V'yitishko Kaspa, why can't she do it? So maybe the whole pasuk at Bitina Tati is referring to a Ketana, even though that pasuk is in the middle of what? Motzi Shemra. And Motzi Shemra, we learned, is Nara Mole Dibra Kosov. But maybe what the father is saying at Bitina Tati Lisha Zeh means, I gave this man my daughter as a Ketana, now she's a Nara, and this is what he does to her. That would be the way we could understand it. Says the Gemara Benu Rea Beit Avia. That's that beautiful pasuk that teaches us, Kol shevach nurim lavia, any shevach that's coming in through the fact of her being her daughter, his daughter, goes to the father. Well, if the pasuk means that, how do you explain what Rav Huna Amar Rav said before? How do we know that the income goes to the father? Because since it says he could sell her, and that means he gets the income from the work that she's doing as a hired hand, so if the Oma Ivriya Maaseh Yadea goes to Rabbah, so then the Maaseh Yadea, if he didn't sell her, goes to the father. So why did he need to say that? Why didn't he just say, Rav, it says, Benu Rea Beit Avia. Ella, what are you going to tell me? You can't prove anything from that pasuk, Benu Rea Beit Avia, because that pasuk was said in the context of what? Nedorim. Benav Labito is about Nedorim. So it has nothing to do with money. V'chitei menelef mina, you'll say, okay, but meanwhile, we can learn from the Nedarim. No, you cannot. Because you cannot use a din of Isser, of Neder, to allow the denim of Mammon to be defined. It is not true. It's a completely different world. Okay, fine. So you'll tell me, let me learn it out from the fact that the Torah says that we give the knas to the father. Doesn't that mean money, right? Money too. That's money. Yes, but that's knas. You can't learn out Mammon from knas. Kedushin's not knas. V'chitem and nail of Niboshet Ubgam said, okay, but we learned before that the father is zochet to tashlum of Niboshet Ubgam in cases of ones umefate. No, because that's unique, because there it's damages to the father, because now he has less of an ability to be able to accept kedushin for her, make money, and so on. So avia shayachba. That means that the idea of Bin Urea Beit Avia is not usable to teach us the rights to this moment. So now we're back to step one. How do we know that other than the fact that it can be Makaba Kedusha for the Katana, but how do we know that he, from V'yotza Chinam Ein Kasev, how do we know that he gets to keep the money? Now, I don't even know that by the Katana, so I don't understand. I'll tell you why. Because Mistava Dechi Mamayat Rachmana Yitzia de Kavataka Mamayat. We're saying, in an equivalent going out of a Rishos. That's what you're saying is the case. It's not to the master. Fine. Okay. Let's analyze the equivalent going out. Going out from the Rishos of the father, going out from the Rishos of the Odin. Let me ask you something. When it says Viatzachidam Ein Kasev, in the event that she becomes a Nara, what would be if she wants to go out before? Can she go out before? Yes, absolutely. It says that she can be poda herself by paying the difference of the money that was paid for 6 years of work. And now we prorate that. 3 years have passed. I'm going to pay you back 50% of what you paid, and I'm going to go out free. That is true. But who would get that money in the event? She can force him to let her out if she can repay the money. So if somebody gives money, I'm not she'en la adon or ein la vicha reshut, but in this money. So she's got money to buy herself out. She can. Who collects that money? Well, the guy who had bought her, obviously. She has to pay him back for the money that he paid to lean her work. Then that would be the same. If you go mamayit rachmana, yitziyah dekavataka mamayit. Therefore, in the same way that where there would be money, that money would be paid to the Odin, so too by the father where there is money that accomplishes the Yitziyah from the Rishus of the father, namely Kesef Kiddushin, that Kesef Kiddushin accrues to the Odin, that is to say, the person from whose Rishus she's leaving, and that is the father. This is, Rashi says, this is the pshat, not the pshat I was makabel, but this is the pshat from that I saw the she'iltais of Rachoy Goin, and I like this pshat the best. Okay. Ask the Gemara, but can you really compare the yitzia from an odin to the yitzia of the father? It's not quite the same, is it? By the case of the odin, when she leaves the rishos of the odin, he is out of the picture entirely. In the case of the yitzia from a father, she is not out of the rishus of the father. The father still has to bring her to the chuppah. And until nisuin, she still is in the rishus of the father in terms of accepting the get and so on, as we said. So she is not really a yitziyah. Hakati mechaser b'sira l'chuppah. True. But in terms of the father's exclusive rights to aforat nidarim, he lost those rights. And therefore, she was an afkale merishus. Ditnan. Once he accepted that money for kedushin, he no longer has the special rights to earn the darim. A nara mu'urasa, and this is the transition we spoke about before, avia ubala together are mefirin la nidareha. So this covers the kesef so far. Tomorrow we'll look into the other things that were mentioned in the Mishnah, including Shtar and Bia, again with the grace of the good Lord. Meanwhile, wishing you all that we have a tomorrow, and that would include having an internet tomorrow, and all the other things that we take for granted, which are really quite miraculous. And Bezrat Hashem, if Hoshia Tamech Uvarechet Bachlatech, tomorrow may be vastly better than today, so we could always look at the good side. So Bezrat Hashem, let us pray for the good side. See you then again, Bezrat Hashem, in a miraculous tomorrow. Kol tov, everyone.